Thank you all for joining me today on The Washington Report. Here today with some incredible stories of determination and perseverance is Army Reserve Chief Warrant Officer 4, Philip Bashir. He is also a master Army aviator whose father is a military legend and was the subject of the Hollywood movie Men of Honor. So thank you for joining me today.
Oh, well, thank you. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as we're wrapping up Black History Month, it's just an honor and a pleasure to be able to speak to someone who has a touch on our history and our legacy. So thank you once again for joining me. So tell me, you know, of course I'm going to ask, who is your dad? Who is this wonderful man?
My dad, the late Carl Bashir, was a poor sharecropper's son from rural Kentucky with a limited education. He joined the Navy and had dreams of doing something big and better, and he ended up wanting to be a diver, but at the time, black men couldn't be divers during that time period in American history. So he struggled to get into dive school. He finally became a diver. During his career, he suffered a massive injury when he lost the bottom part of his leg. At the time we lost his leg, the Navy wanted to go ahead and physically retire him, but my dad said, no, that's not going to happen, and he fought his way back into service and became the first amputee to return to active duty.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to say, Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yes.
And so look, you said something, and I need to go back to it. So you said he could not go to diving school. Why could he not?
Well, during the time, there was a lot of racism, and the Navy didn't want him to attend diving school. It was an all-white club that they had within the Navy, so they kind of tried to, you know, just keep him out of the school because of his race. But he wrote hundreds of letters requesting the school, and finally the Navy gave in and sent him to dive school. But he was rejected many times.
Now, did he write directly to the dive school, or did he push beyond the military and reach out to Congress or anything like that, or senators?
Oh, no. He used his chain of command in the Navy, and he wrote dozens of letters up and down his chain of command and to the diving school, and it was finally possible for him to go once, I guess, the right people finally made the decision. And yes, we'll try to see if he can make it.
Wow. And so how long did he serve in that capacity?
My father served as a diver in the Navy from 1954 to the day he retired in 1979, for 25 years.
You mean he was diving with an artificial leg?
Yes, he lost his leg in 1966.
After
he returned to dive status in 1967, he continued to dive for 12 more years until he retired in 1979.
Oh my goodness, that's impressive. Not only impressive, but it's inspiring. You know, I guess because he fought so hard to get to where he was that he couldn't let anything get in his way. Is that a good way to look at it?
Yes. My father never believed in the word can't. He used to say, if you say the word can't, that means you've never even tried. He didn't mind if you tried and failed, but if you said can't, you're defeated from the beginning. So he never used the word can't.
See, there you go. for those people that are listening now, you know, that's so easy. You know, I work with little children, and when they first get to something and it's just difficult, the first words out of their mouth are, I can't, you know. It's like, you haven't tried. Let's try it this way. Let's try it that way. And then you praise them and you give them all the, you know, high fives that you can, and pretty soon they go, I can.
That's right. You're exactly right.
And so what got you involved with the military?
Well, my dad was a big influence, and I actually joined the Navy Reserve to go into aviation. I didn't want to be a diver. I was always interested in aviation, and through the Navy, I was able to be a crew member on Navy helicopters. And then one day, I just decided, well, if I can ride on the back of them, why can't I fly them? But I couldn't at the time because I didn't have a college degree, so I went to the Army National Guard where they have the Warrant Officer Program, and I proceeded to join that and got accepted, and the rest is history. I was accepted to flight school and became an Army helicopter pilot.
Wow, thank you very much for your service. I like that. I guess that's that part in your dad that says that you can, right?
That's right. Never give up.
Can you tell us about any other heroes that have maybe shaped your life or, you know, been instrumental in helping you obtain your goals as well as your father's?
Well, I can tell you about one I was fortunate to meet while he was still living, one of the original Tuskegee Airmen in the person of Lieutenant Colonel Howard Ball, who lived not too far from me, or who did live not too far from me in Petersburg, Virginia. He was definitely one of the main people that inspired me to become interested in aviation, just to read about the Tuskegee Airmen and all their exploits and accolades during World War II. I mean, it was great. Who wouldn't want to follow in their footsteps?
Mm-hmm. And so what was it that about him that gave you that inspiration? Was there something that he said to you? What was it?
Actually, I didn't know him when I applied to flight school, but I read all about him. I got to meet him later on in my career, but I read all about him before I went to flight school. He was just one of those Tuskegee Airmen that said he's not going to let the color of his skin deny his right to do something that he knew he was capable of doing. And he became one of our best aviators throughout World War II. Being a black pilot, he just opened the doors for all black pilots to follow him. And I was so glad to finally meet him in person after I became a helicopter pilot in this local Virginia area, and it was just great.
I think that a lot of our young people need to take the opportunity, regardless of color, race, background, we need to start looking back and really reading about these American, real-life American heroes. My stepdad was a Tuskegee Airman, he was not a part of the flying missions, but my uncle, Vashon Eagleson, actually was one of those top dogs as a Tuskegee Airman. And so I can understand that personal pride and wanting to be a part of that. It was one of the reasons why I joined the Air Force myself many years back. But, of course, I wasn't a pilot or anything, but I had a wonderful opportunity and a great mission while I was involved. And so for you and yourself and your travels, where have you been in this world? Are you still active?
I'm still a member of the Army Reserve. When I was a member of the Army National Guard, I did do a humanitarian trip to Bolivia, South America, where we helped build some bridges and some schools. As a helicopter pilot, I delivered goods and services in that venue. I was also deployed to Iraq, of course, for the war support over there during the 2005 to 2007 era. I've never made it to Afghanistan, but I would go in a heartbeat if they asked me to come and do my skills there as a helicopter pilot.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that. Once it's in your blood, you know.
Yes.
You don't want to stop. I remember when the first Gulf War came out, I was recently just got out of the Air Force, and I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to call me back. I got to be ready. Luckily for me, they didn't call back, and my husband, who recently wasn't called to go anywhere. But that kind of feeling, it's just in you when you want to be able to serve and help the best way that you can. Let's go back to your dad. How did Hollywood come to find out about your dad, his story, and how did that unfold?
Actually, when my father retired in 1979, Paramount Studios and all kinds of movie theaters or movie venues were thinking of trying to make a movie about him. But it wasn't until my father's story was given to a gentleman by the name of Dr. Bill Cosby in the mid-90s to where the movie finally got off the ground, when Bill Cosby influenced Fox Studios to finally do the movie Men of Honor. But it started in 1996. And in 2000, the movie Men of Honor came about.
Wow. I mean, the cast of characters, were you able to go on set?
Oh, I was on set quite a few times. In fact, on set, and I can say I'll never do it again, but once I did get out on the red carpet during the Hollywood premiere, it was great.
Yeah? See, now we're really getting to some really good stuff now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime honor. Now, was your dad, it seems that your dad was probably very humble about all of this.
My dad, to the day he died, never thought of himself as a celebrity or a hero. He always thought of himself as a humble man who just didn't give up. He, in fact, at his funeral, in his will, my father wanted junior sailors from the local naval base to be his pallbearers, even though admirals and political officials all were appointed. My father didn't want that. He just wanted junior sailors, so that's what we gave him at his funeral.
Wow. That says a lot. That says a lot about, it says a lot about him. Now, with him being, you know, in the Navy, probably took him away from you guys quite a bit. So what kind of influence did he have on you growing up as a young man and your hero?
Well, of course, the Navy took him away at least 5 to 6 months every year. He was gone on Mediterranean cruises and whatnot. But when he came back, it was just such a pleasure to spend time with my dad. You know, my mom, she was a great lady, but there's nothing like a boy spending time with his dad. He would take us to the naval bases and show us around. We would have free run on the ships that he was stationed upon. And it was just great to just be able to see that part of a society that not many kids get a chance to see and experience it.
Oh, not at all. I can just feel it right now. How exciting for you and how exciting for your family. I mean, that's just one fantastic thing. And I just want to let my listeners know again, I'm speaking to Army Reserve Chief Warrant Officer for Philip Brashear. You're also a master Army aviator. And we were talking about your dad, Carl Brashear, who persevered and became the first African-American master diver in the U.S. Navy. And his personal struggle, his story, not to mention being an amputee, is something of not only great honor, but of inspiration. And is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about your dad or any other African-American military heroes that you'd like to share?
Well, I will tell you that a personal friend of my father's was the first elected black governor in the United States in the person of L. Douglas Wilder. They were friends right up until my father passed away. And it was great having another person in my life like L. Douglas Wilder, who was a standout, a person who didn't let color or anything else hold him back from reaching his goals. And it was great to spend time and be around him. But one thing I would like to share is the movie doesn't capture my father's sense of humor. He would always joke with me. And when I became a pilot, he said, "Son, just remember, there's always going to be divers looking for pilots. There's not many pilots looking for divers."
Well, I guess so, huh?
That's right.
But did you learn how to dive as a result of your dad being a diver?
Actually, no, not at all. I love the water,
really?
But I didn't want to be a diver. No way.
That takes a special kind of person with a lot of drive. And I, you know, for me, I don't mind the water, but after, if I can't touch the bottom, you know, I get this, if I can't touch land, I start to get a little crazy inside.
That's right. I understand.
You know, the deep end, but I know there's a rim somewhere. I'm good.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. It's been an absolute pleasure to share this information with you. Oh, and we forgot to mention that in the Men of Honor, Cuba Gooding Jr. Played your dad. But like you said, you know, there's nothing like the real thing, right?
That's right. Nothing like the real thing.
Thank you once again for helping me close out Black History Month with a wonderful story of information, a wonderful story of inspiration, and hope as well. So thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me. You take care.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.